again, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And in our last study, Paul was responding to those in the Corinthian church who believed and taught that there would not be a resurrection of the dead. And in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, verse 12, Paul said, "Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty." And then he said in verse 20, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep or died." And again, we talked about first fruits, meaning, he was really the first one not to be risen from the dead, because he raised Lazarus and Jairus' daughter. But he was the first one that was raised from the dead, but who would not die. Okay? So Lazarus eventually died again. And so did Jairus' daughter. But the Lord Jesus, once he is risen from the dead, death is no longer, obviously, in his life. And so we pick it up today in verse 21. And Paul writes, "For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." So Paul gives us a simple but wonderful illustration as he takes us back to the Garden of Eden and the sin of Adam. And we know that Adam's sin of rebellion against God didn't just affect him. Didn't just affect him personally, his sin, but it affected him spiritually and physically. Okay? And his sin had, I guess you would call, a domino effect, because it caused everyone after him to be born spiritually dead, be born with a sinful nature, and have a predisposition to sin and eventually die. It's been passed down from Adam even to those who are born this very day, this very moment. So I just want to go back to Romans chapter 5 to the left. Go through a couple scriptures. Romans chapter 5. And Paul confirms what he said in 1 Corinthians in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. He says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned." Okay. And so let's go to the middle of our Bibles to Psalm 51. Right before Proverbs. Psalm 51, verse 5. And David writes, "Behold, I was brought forth," or born, "in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." Okay? So he's talking about how even his mother, you know, was sinful. And he was brought forth, born in sin, really, a sinful nature. And in Psalm 58, verse 3, David writes, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies." is talking about the very young. And again, we said this before. Parents don't teach their kids to lie, do they? No, our parents didn't teach us to lie. But, you know, when they're very young, when we were young and we did something and we were asked, did we do that? The answer most of the time was not yes. It was no, which was a lie. Okay, so that comes naturally, if you will. Really, it comes naturally. All right. Now, let's go back to one more, to the New Testament, to Ephesians chapter 2. You know, 1 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And Paul writes, and you, okay, he's writing to Christians in the Ephesian church. He's writing to us. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Right? Spiritually dead. But he made us alive. But of these trespasses and sins, he says, in which you once walked according to the course or the ways of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by what? Nature, children of wrath, just as the others. Okay, so some people say that, you know, the Bible doesn't say that we have a sinful nature, but Paul says it right here. He says, right? He says, we were by nature children of wrath, just like the others. Okay? But back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 22, Paul says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. So he says that just as the sin of one man, Adam, has brought spiritual, physical death to everyone, the perfect life and sacrificial death and victorious resurrection of one man, Jesus, he made a way for us to be cleansed from our sins and one day be resurrected to eternal life. Okay, to the left again, into Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. And Paul writes, but if the spirit of him, if the spirit of Jesus, who, the spirit of him, God, who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Okay, so the same spirit that God's spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, he says, will raise our mortal bodies also. Okay? And again, so we're going through this because, you know, there were those in the Corinthian church that questioned being resurrected from the dead. So back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23, Paul writes, but each one, right? Well, verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, meaning, again, Christ is first in that. Afterward, those who are Christ's at his coming or at his return. He's talking about the order of things. Okay. Let's go to the right, to Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, chapter 1. So back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul talked about the order of things. Christ was the first one resurrected from the dead, and we were to follow. And here, Paul in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, "For by him," or "for by Jesus, all things were created that are on heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence." Okay? So Paul is saying, because of who Jesus is and all he's done, it's only right that he should be first in everything, including the resurrection. He's first. And, you know, evidently when people die, believers, their spirit immediately goes to be with God. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. And Paul says in verse 5, "For he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Okay. So Paul talks about absent from the body, present with the Lord. But the Bible teaches that there will also be a future event when these spirits of humans who have gone on to eternal life will one day be reunited with a resurrected body. A glorious body that will be different and much better than the body that they had in this life. Even with all that plastic surgery, this body is going to be even better than that. I know you guys know nothing about that, but it's going to be similar to the one that Jesus had when he rose from the dead. And so when will this happen? Well, he talks about when the Lord returns. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians, to the right after Colossians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. And Paul writes, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep or concerning those who have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." Okay, so he doesn't want these believers in the church at Thessalonica, you know, not ignorant about those who have died. It says verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who sleep or have died in Jesus," or have died as Christians. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep," or those who have died. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Okay. So, back to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 15, Paul confirms this again in verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward, those who are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God to the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. And then in verse 25, he says, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. So Paul says death is an enemy. Sure is, right? Absolutely. It's an enemy. And though death has been defeated by Jesus through his resurrection, obviously death still continues in a very real way as people continue to die. I was amazed at how many people it's estimated that die every day worldwide. 170,000 a day. Every day. Every single day. 9,000 every day in the United States. Every single day. But that will not always be the case, thank God. But for now, God has given a certain measure of rule, power, and authority to men, to Satan, and even to death. But again, that's all temporary. And Paul says the last final victory of Christ is his victory over all death. Let's go toward the middle of our Bibles with Isaiah before Jeremiah. Isaiah chapter 25. Chapter 25, verse 8. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And let's go to the last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Again, verse 4. No more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. First Corinthians. Chapter 15, verse 27, or verse 26 again. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So Paul looks forward to the time when all things are resolved and made perfect. Everything is made right the way God intended. And then he will present it all to God the Father, who is the author of this glorious plan of salvation and eternal life for us. Okay? Now, verse 29. He says, otherwise, what will they do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead do not rise at all, why then are they baptized for the dead? Okay, so, you know, there's no break here when Paul wrote this letter. But in verse 29, it's a difficult and mysterious verse, to say the least. And it's been interpreted, you know, a couple different ways. But, again, we can't just separate this from everything else that he was talking about. But in the context with what Paul is saying here, apparently some people were being baptized on behalf of those who had died, that weren't believers. So some people were being baptized, say, in the name of Joe Smith. No, I'm getting baptized for him. You know, and they believed that if a person dies without having received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that it wasn't too late and somebody could get baptized for them. But Hebrews chapter 9 tells us it is appointed for men to die once, after this comes judgment. Okay? So, Paul, he doesn't approve of this practice. He's not agreeing with it. He's just using it as an example of the contradiction in their doctrine and belief. Because this group of Corinthians didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead, yet some were being baptized for the dead. So he's like, what sense does this make? You know, you're going baptizing for somebody who's dead, yet you don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. Doesn't make sense. Why are you doing this? What's the point if there's no life after death? And so in verse 30, he says, and why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? If in the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me? If the dead do not rise, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. So, verse 31, which I skipped, he says, I affirm by the boasting in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Okay? But the point here is Paul had suffered many things for being a Christian and for preaching the gospel. Oh, my goodness. You know, you can read about that. You know, he'd been beaten with rods, stoned, lashed with whips, thrown in prison, hungry, thirsty, sickness, shipwrecked in the middle of the water, all kinds of things. And, you know, finding himself, you know, possibly dying, being killed on a daily basis. Right? That's why he said in verse 30, why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? you know, he throws that question out to them. He says, you know, he's saying, if there's no bodily resurrection, then why would I risk my life and go through all this stuff every day? That's crazy. Verse 32, again, he says, if in the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me? So Paul says if he was thrown to the lions at Ephesus because of his faith in Christ, what spiritual profit would there be? If the dead do not rise. Right? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then suffering a martyr's death is pretty stupid. Right? I mean, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then dying for Christ is a waste. It's a waste. And then he says in verse 32, if the dead do not rise, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. As people today have that thought, well, they don't believe in God, they don't believe in a judgment, don't believe in an afterlife, so hey. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Right? Party like it's 1999. We won't go there, but that's what he's saying. And again, he agrees. If there's no resurrection, then yes, that should be your philosophy. Eat and drink and party if there's no judgment. But verse 33, he says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. So Paul gives them a verbal slap in the face and tells them, don't be deceived. There is a resurrection. And he hints that they had been hanging around people who have influenced them for the worse. To the left into Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And he tells the church in Rome, and do not be conformed to this world. Right? Don't conform yourself to the ways of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Right? So he's telling the Roman church there, you know, we have to let God's word be our guide for our thinking, not the evil ways and morals of the world. In verse 34, he says, awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this, he says, to your shame. Right? He's speaking to these Corinthians. He tells, you know, think about how they're thinking and living and sinning. They need to realize that after all this time, some of them really had no knowledge of God whatsoever. He's like, he's kind of, you know, shaming them. It's been a while now, and they shouldn't be, you know, believing some of this nonsense. Right? And so we're going to close with this. As in past chapters, Paul seems to anticipate some of the questions that would come up when they read Paul's letters. Okay. Especially doubts about the resurrection, you know. And so we'll see in verse 35, he says, but someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? So he's, you know, throwing the question out that they would probably ask. And then he's going to answer it. Okay. And he's going to, God willing, next week, he's going to answer the question by giving us three examples or analogies from the natural world to help explain the difference between the body that we have now and the resurrected body that we will have someday. Okay. And it, I just find it just so amazing, you know, 2,000 years ago, just the knowledge of things that God gave to Paul on so many levels, the spiritual, the physical. You know, we read a scripture before where Paul talked about, you know, that God created all things, visible and invisible. How would Paul know that there were invisible things? How would he know that? How would he know? He didn't have a microscope to look at things that are, you know, bacteria, that are, you know, all these different things. How would he know? Because God gave him this knowledge. And it's just pretty incredible. So he's going to explain, which is pretty cool, you know, about our resurrected bodies. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that. It's been almost a month and just finally getting over this virus after a month. It's crazy. I don't know if it's because of age. That could be part of it. I don't know. Are these different strains out there now? And only God knows. I mean, just so I'm looking forward to that new body. And we know it could be worse, right? Definitely. I mean, some of us have been through the ringer already. So you know what I'm talking about. You know? So anyway, amen to that.